Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. And their mother sent them out into a great big world with a mission to build a life for themselves. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about a mission and a building. We've been talking for the last few weeks about God the Builder. And I don't have a way to tie God the Builder into this other than as I've been contemplating, meditating, and looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I see that there is a partnership that we're involved in. There is a mission that we've been given, and you and I are called to build a life. And God is the chief architect. God is the builder. God is the foundation. But we are fellow workers with Him. And I'd like for you to look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul says, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. When I read these verses, I was thinking of how to try to bring some closure to this idea of God the Builder and the things that we've been talking about. I kind of keyed in on the verses of verse 12 that talks about the materials that were used to build on the foundation. And I was reminded that when I looked at these things, especially when I saw the last three, wood, hay, and straw, I just couldn't help but be reminded of the guys that we know so well who set out to build houses for themselves. Three little pigs. They really have a lot to teach us. The film was actually first created in 1933 by Walt Disney and Company. It's been modified four times. I know more about it today than I really should. Research for sermons is fun. It was originally, one of the variations was used in Canada. It was used to help them win the war effort in World War II. And the big bad wolf had a Nazi swastika on his arm. And the blocks that the little pig used on the third pig were Canadian war bonds. And so the story has been used by lots of people to try to put forth lots of images and thoughts. But I believe that familiar story has a powerful message. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the three little pigs. And I want to share with you my three points that I'm going to talk about tonight. First, I'm going to talk about the first pig. Second, I'm going to talk about the second pig. My third point is going to be on the third pig. So you'll know when I'm getting close to the end. And if I start talking about bacon, we're over with. All right? So let me see if we can use these thoughts. Now, you've got to go back and you've got to remember, do you remember reading or do you remember seeing the little short, the little comic, the cartoon of the three pigs? When their mother sends them out, do you remember that? And they send them out with a mission to build a life for themselves. And I almost put some of the pictures up that I found from it. And they have the little song that they would sing, and I'll talk about their song in a minute. But she told them that there was a mission that they were to do, and it was to go out and to build their lives. And Jesus gave us a mission. In John chapter number 17, He gives us a mission in this world that we're left in. And in John chapter 17, if you'll key in with me on a couple of verses, He's praying this great high priestly prayer. And He says in verse 15, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now look at verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. A mission, ascending with a commission. And so we are sent. He sanctifies us. He doesn't take us out of the world. He doesn't remove us from the world. Wouldn't it be great if He just saved us and took us straight to heaven, and we wouldn't have to worry about all those headaches that we've had. We wouldn't have to put up with all the troubles that we've had. I mean, if He just saved us and took us straight to heaven, it would be easy. But that's not what He did. He saved us. He sanctified us. He said, "You're mine. You belong to me. And now I've got a job for you to do. And I'm sending you into the world." And another day we'll talk about that, another part of that sending. But the point is that He sent us to fulfill a specific purpose. And He outlined that purpose in the great manifesto found in Matthew chapter number 7 when He talked about all of His purpose. A lot of people call this the manifesto, some people call this the great manifesto of the Christian church. Some call the Sermon on the Mount one of the greatest discourses ever given by any leader ever, as He lays out the principles of the kingdom of God. And He shares all of the things that are important to know as a believer. You can learn so much from the sermon on that mountainside. And He brings it to a conclusion. And you know, a preacher always saves his best for last. If you can stay awake that long. In Matthew chapter 7, as He wraps it up, He says in verse number 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Good foundation. So we see that Jesus is saying, He's saying, "Look, guys, I'm giving you a mission. I've given you a message. And now you've got to go do something with it. Build a life. Build a life with all these things that have been given to you." And so we as Christians have a solid foundation. His name is Jesus. Paul said no one can lay another foundation than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ Himself. And so we have this similarity. And I want you to know, you already know it's important to build structures that can withstand the storms. It's important. All you got to do is live in a leaky house to know that. I love the comic strips. I really do. In fact, one day I'm going to preach a sermon with nothing but comic strips to illustrate every point that I have. You just wait. I'm cutting them out and I'm saving them up. But I saw one the other day that I didn't cut out. This is funny. Snuffy Smith, he's one of my favorites. And his wife was telling him one day, she's kind of getting on to him because the rain's coming. And she says, "I'm telling you, that wind's going to rip every shingle off that roof." He said, "Oh, no, it's not. You know we ain't had shingles on that roof for a long time." And they all have all kinds of cartoons, Snuffy Smith, about how they don't have enough pots in the house. Not for cooking, but for catching the drips from the ceiling. You know, that's their house. When it rains inside. When it stops raining, it still rains inside. Because we need to have a solid house, a solid foundation, a solid life. And the decision we have to make has to do with what type of materials we're going to use, what quality of structure are we going to build, how are we going to build quickly, and yet at the same time have quality. I mean, these are decisions that we have to look at. Are you going to build something fast, kind of thrown up together just so you can say you did something? Or are you going to build something solid and something that will stand the storm of time, even the big bad wolf that comes and huffing and puffing to blow your house down? Three little pigs have something to tell us. And so I want you to look with me at the first pig. Do you remember the first little pig? As he was sent out from his mom's house with his three little brothers, he was the first one to find a man who had some straw. And he said to the man who had some straw, "Would you give me some straw so I can build me a house?" And the man gave, there's some generous people in this story. I don't have any points about them, but they gave him everything they needed. And so he got the straw and he begins to build his house. Now, he wasn't in really a hurry. In fact, if you go back and look at that, if I remember right, he kind of just threw it up in the air and it all landed. I think is how I remember it. You know, I mean, he didn't really put a whole lot of work, a whole lot of effort into building his house. He just threw the straw up in the air and it landed, and he was so happy to have his little house, and he got back in his hammock and was chilling and enjoyed himself. And the others have gone on to do their stuff, but he is finished quickly. He's looking forward to this lazy life of leisure. And he's satisfied with himself for what he has built. The first pig, there's something about him that sometimes we can identify with. We shouldn't, don't want to, but we have at times. He's lazy. He's lazy. He doesn't like to work. And if you look with me at Romans chapter 12, he kind of reminds you of a believer or a scripture that someone that Paul had to write something to. In Romans 12, he's encouraging them something, and he says in verse number 10, Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And look at this next one. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There wasn't nothing fervent about that first pig at all, except he was fervent to get in the hammock. And he wasn't in no hurry to do no work. He wasn't diligent. He wasn't serving. He was lazy. He didn't like to work at all. You see, the first pig's attitude was, you know, just do just enough to get by. To do just enough to get by, whatever it takes. He's the kind of guy that reminds me of the Christian who complained, the man who complained to his pastor that he really was getting bored coming to church because every time he came to church, they sang the same songs. And he told the pastor, I'm tired of hearing those same old songs. And the pastor says, you know, I understand and you have a point. But if you would come more than just at Christmas time, you'd hear more than Silent Night in O Little Town of Bethlehem. Yeah, he was hearing the same songs because he was doing just enough to get by. Really, he wasn't doing just enough to get by. He was doing just enough to ease his conscience. He was doing just enough to kind of make himself feel a little bit better. And a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, they're building their life doing just enough. What's the bare minimum? What's it going to take? What can I do just to get by? You know what? If you're not putting 100% into your relationship with the Lord, into building your life, into building your faith, let me remind you something. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. We use that about finances sometimes, but look, it says it in every area of our life. If we're doing just enough to get by, spiritually speaking, in this building, in this house building, that first little pig, then there's going to be a huffing and there's going to be a puffing. And something's going to fall. So, now the good news is that most of you are used to hard work. Good news is most of you are not lazy. You're here on Wednesday night. You don't even know what's on TV on Wednesday night. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I don't want to be tempted. You heard about the never mind, I just ruined the joke. I was going to tell you, you heard about the guy who told his wife he was tired of going to church, and she's like, why? You know, what's the deal? Well, I don't like them. They don't like me. It's boring. And well, she said, I'm going to give you one good reason why you got to go. You the preacher? It's almost as good as the joke Sister Lori sent me. This has nothing to do with my sermon. I just, you know, sometimes you need to smile. Man read a book on being the authority in his home. He walked in his wife into the room where she was. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I've read this book. I'm the authority in my home, and you are going to fix me supper. You're going to wash the dishes. I'm going to go take a bath. And you know who's going to comb and fix my hair? And she said, the funeral director, I reckon. Has nothing to do with the first little pig. Except for the fact that that guy may have done just enough to get by, and he messed up. He missed the fine print that said, serve one another. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for her. And look at all the things he did for her. Just enough to get by. That's that first little guy. Now look, let me get back to this little pig. Because when he gets through building his house, not only is he lazy, there's something else about him. If you remember in the story, he played an instrument. Does anybody remember what he played? No, that was the second guy. Y'all getting ahead of me. Played the flute. Yeah, the second one played the fiddle. So they're on top of their cartoons. This guy played, and I had to look. I couldn't remember. I remembered something about, hey, diddle, diddle, play this fiddle in the little song. But this guy, here's what he said as he danced down the little road or whatever. He said, I built my house of straw. I built my house of hay. I toot my flute. I don't give a hoot and play around all day. Day, day. Doesn't he go something like that? Y'all remember that? I don't know if he jiggled as cute as I do, but it brings me to the second point about this pig, is that he liked to toot his own horn. Uh-oh. My mentor has often told me, beware of the one who proclaims his loyalty louder than anybody else. He'll be the first one to give it to you, stab you in the back or whatever. The people who loudly proclaim how faithful they are and how wonderful they are, They're the ones you can pretty much count on not being there when the going gets tough. I remember you probably had something like this happen. I remember, you know, there's a story goes about this guy who was thought he was an expert on everything. He'd read a book on something and he was instant expert. Shows up at his little civic meeting one day and there's a new guy there and he wants to impress him with his great knowledge of economics. And he's retelling him all the stuff that he thinks he knows because he's read this book. And then they got ready to have the program and they introduced the new guy as the speaker who had written the book. So much for tooting his own horn. But see, the first little pig had this issue. He was lazy, he liked to toot his own horn. He was not building a house. There's a verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that kind of describes the first little pig. You may not have realized the first little pig was in here in the Bible. But in, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, there's a description of him. And it doesn't say first little pig, but when you read it, you'll know exactly who he's talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you there? Look at verse 11. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Never thought I'd preach on that verse. Paul says, you're going to build a solid life. You're going to build a quality life. You're going to build on this foundation that the Lord has given you. Then you need to not be like the first guy. Don't be all talk and no substance. First little pig needs to put his flute away and get back to the foundation of his life, which is Jesus Christ, and begin building because we know what happened to him. Now let's talk about the second pig. Second little pig. Second little pig looked at, took one little look at his brother's straw hut, and he decides he can do better. And as the story goes, he finds a guy who's carrying some sticks or some limbs, some firewood, and he asks the man to give him some sticks, and he decides to build his house out of sticks. And he is determined that his stick house is tons better than the straw house that his brother built. He's pretty much got it wrapped up that his stick house is better. Looks better, looks stronger, looks like it will endure, looks like it's got better construction. And if you've listened to me carefully in the last 15 seconds, you've noticed his problem. He's concerned about looks. It looks better. It looks better. He's concerned about appearances. So he builds his house with sticks in the middle of this lovely little valley. And it doesn't take him much longer to build his house than it took the brother who built it out of straw. And he's through in no time. And that night, I can just imagine that little pig laying on his cot. He's so proud of himself. He's proud that he's built something that's so good looking. He's proud that he's built something that looks so fine. And everybody on the outside, comparing to his brother, man, he's got quite the structure, quite the building. And he's not worried that he's built in a floodplain. he figures that, nothing's going to happen here in a long time. Nothing bad's going to happen. Nothing's going to go down. Nothing's going to be a problem. He's the guy who played the fiddle. Now, I've got his song. You want to hear his song? I built my house of sticks. I built my house of twigs. With a hey diddle diddle, I play on the fiddle and dance all kind of jigs. I know I'm not singing it right, but I'm not going to dance any jigs either. Here's the deal, guys. He knows he should have built a stronger house, but he just didn't want to take the time because he was more interested in what it looked like. He didn't want to spend the time, the money, and the effort to do it right. And since his stick house looks good enough, he just wants to fiddle around. He's like the kind of Christian who knows and understands his spiritual responsibilities, but won't discipline himself to do them. And so God plays second fiddle in his life. I'm going to tell you something. There's some problems with that. A couple of problems that jump out to me. First of all, is a guy who's doing that is going to be easily deceived because he won't spend the energy and he won't spend the time to build his life. And he's not going to take the responsibility of studying God's Word for himself. Look at Acts chapter 17. There are a group of people here. that when they heard a new teaching, they took seriously their responsibility of building their life. And I want you to look at what it says they did. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 10, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. And look at this next part. Examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. We have a little group of pastors that meets on Wednesday mornings. We rotate between the churches. You've heard us talk about it. And we set up an email group so that we could send messages to each other. And the name of the email group is Acts 17:11. Because we have recognized the value that comes in when you get together with your brothers, even in a small group, and you dig and you search and you study. You know, and sometimes we're digging and we're searching and we may be, because of our past or because of our background, because of our teaching, we're not coming across the same things. And so we dig deeper and we work harder. Now, we don't always agree on everything on Wednesday mornings. And sometimes there's better value than others. But this group here in Acts chapter 17 recognized the need to study, to apply themselves. They weren't worried about appearances. They were worried about truth. And the problem is a guy who's only worried about appearances, who doesn't spend any time getting the truth, is going to be easily deceived. Another negative effect in his life is that he neglects the duties that God's given him. I was reading today in my devotions in James chapter 4, and there is a powerful, powerful verse in the end of the last verse of James 4. In fact, I'd like you to take a look at it with me. It's the kind of verse that when you read it, you go, wow, that settles that. It's one of those verses that you read and you almost wish you hadn't read because now you're responsible for it. I'm going to warn you in advance. James chapter 4. The last verse, verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, I hear you right now, to him it's sin. You see, the guy who only worried about appearances, he won't spend the time, the money, the energy, he's going to be the kind of guy that doesn't, or who neglects the things that God has called him to do. Well, this will be all right, or I'll get by, or this won't matter. Let me read you a verse real quick. You don't have to go there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. The guy who's worried about appearances thinks he's got it all together. The guy that's worried about appearances thinks everybody on the outside thinks he's... And you know what? They may. They may think he's got it together because he looks like he's got it together. But let him who thinks he stands be careful. Because that second little pig fiddled his life away. The second little pig doesn't realize that he does have a responsibility as a Christian to build his life and to build it well. To build it well. In Colossians chapter 2, I'd like you to take a look at a verse over here. You see, Jesus died for that second little pig, so that he would have everything he needs to build a long-lasting, strong faith. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. There's a responsibility for you and for me to respond to this, to not be like the second guy who's only worried about appearances, but to do what Paul says. We have a foundation. We've been firmly rooted. Now there's some building time. It's sweat time. It's crunch time. It's put your nose to the grindstone. I know there's a song that says you work your fingers to the bones, what do you get? Bony fingers. But for the believer who works faithfully, he hears, well done, good and faithful servant. And so the second little pig, you know, he needs to put his fiddle down. Put it this way, he needs to stop fiddling around. Yeah. And put his heart and his work, his energy into what God has revealed to him in scriptures for his life. Now let's talk about the third little pig. This guy's sober-minded. He understands the job at hand. And he recognizes that he needs to build a structure that will last. He understands it's a tough world out there. There are some big bad wolves, and they want to huff, and they want to puff, and they want to blow his house down. And so he takes a long time, and his work is tedious, and it's slow, and it doesn't go near as fast as the other little pigs. In fact, they come around, they want him to go party, and they want him to go down to the river and play, and they want him to dance, and they want to do all their music and have fun, because that's what they're interested in. But he's looking forward to something else. He's looking forward to the peace that comes with knowing he's built a solid foundation or a solid structure. And so he works and he lays those bricks with that mortar. And he's got a song too, which I'll tell you about in a minute. I believe you're like the third pig. You're diligent. You're sober. You're alert. 1 Peter chapter number 1. There's an interesting verse here about people who don't mind putting a little hard work into their relationship with Jesus because they realize that their hard work will lead to a future of peace and comfort. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Here's the description of the third little pig. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you see this mindset? While some are tooting their horns, while others are fiddling around, this guy's sober. He's got his mind prepared, it says, for action. His hope fixed completely. Knowing that his struggle, his toil, his labor will not have been in vain. Now there's two things that the little guy uses. He uses bricks and he uses mortar. Doesn't use straw, doesn't use sticks. He uses things that are going to last. As I think about it, I believe that the bricks, they're God's building blocks in our lives. And we talked about God's building blocks a little while back, but I do want you to see another verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because it talks in here, 2 Timothy 2, about something that brings us strength. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Workman, presenting himself. But what is that workman handling? What material is that workman using? What blocks is he building with? According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the blocks that this workman is building with is the Word of God. It's the Word of truth. And so he's taking God's words, one word at a time, one verse at a time, one line at a time, one precept at a time, and he's building course by course, row by row, one line upon another, one truth upon another, God's Word strengthening his life. And then there's a mortar. I ask myself, what is the thing that holds it all together? What is the truth? And John chapter 14, I think, has an indication of it. We have the Word of God in our lives, but Jesus said there was going to be something else given to us that would tie everything together. You probably know the verse I'm thinking about. In John chapter 14, verse number 26, Jesus said these things, in verse 25, "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you." Verse 26, "But the Helper," Brother Buddy spoke so well, so clearly on this on Sunday, the one that will help, the called alongside to help one, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see, what I hear him saying is he will tie the loose pieces together. He will knit the stuff together. He will take those words of truth and will tie them together. He is the mortar that holds those blocks of truth together in our lives. And so as workmen, as that, like that third little pig who recognized that we have a job ahead of us. We take, like the Bereans did, one line and one word and one truth, these words of truth, and tie them together with the help of the Holy Spirit guiding our lives, and this structure is being built. His word is bound to our hearts. Now, you remember the first and second little pigs? They were party animals. They partied, they played, and they tried to get the third little pig to join in, but he kept working. And here's his song. I wish I could sing the right tune. He says, I built my house of stone. I built my house of bricks. I have no chance to sing and dance, for work and play don't mix. I built my house of stone. I built my house of bricks. I have no chance to work and dance, because work to sing and dance, for work and play don't mix. See, his attitude was, there's a time for everything. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything. And this guy understood, this is the time to work. This is the time to apply myself. We need to build our spiritual lives with the same tenacity that he has. Understand, this is the time to build. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep working. No half-baked jobs. His attitude was, this is the time to build. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to wrap this up because there's not a fourth pig, so I'm through. Having said those things and told that story, you remember when the big pig came along? The big wolf. Thank you. That reminds me of another joke. You want to hear another joke? I'll tell you later. The wolf comes to the first guy's house. He huffs and he puffs and he blows his house down. He runs to the second little pig's house. Those two little pigs are up inside that little stick house. The wolf huffs and puffs and he blows that house down. They squeal all the way to their brother's house. They run inside and he comes and he huffs and he puffs and he can't blow the house down. And then he tries some trickery. You remember that? He dresses himself up. Puts a little sheep clothing on himself. Rings the doorbell, but see, the third piggy knows better. He's worked. He's not easily fooled. Then he comes along, and if I remember right, he's dressed up like a little old lady or something. He wants to sell him some Girl Scout cookies or something. It wasn't Girl Scout cookies, but something. They don't fall for his trickery. Then he gets up on the roof, and he wants to come down the chimney. And the third little pig lights the fire, cuts up the carrots, and has a wolf stew for supper. He's prepared. He had worked. He had built. Now read with me again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. It sounds to me like the guy who wrote the story of the three pigs was a Calvinist. Because all three pigs ended up getting saved at the end. A couple of them, though, by the hair of their chin. That's what it says right here. Didn't it say in verse 15? If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved by the hair of his chin. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I'm not talking about salvation issues. You know that. The question is, how are we building this house? How are we reinforcing? How are we using what God has given us? The storms of life, or the blow, or the big bad wolf comes calling, will your house stand? good news is that you've been building. You've been building. You're hardworking folks. You're good builders. So I just want to encourage you and remind you of that. Remind yourselves. There's some good truth to be seen everywhere. Even in the story of the three little pigs, to remind us how to build. Thank you, Father, for the truths that are in your word. You show them to us in many ways, and we recognize that ultimately you are the builder, but you called us to build with you. You told us to be careful how we do that. So, Father, help us not to be consumed, concerned with ease. Help us not to be consumed or concerned with appearance. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, laboring at what you've given us to do, so that the end you might be pleased. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the building that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.